Oh, hello everyone. My name is Elijah Davis. This is 12,000 Pastor Shadow Turn Congregation. Now, that's the 12,000 Elvin Texas. Today is June the 23rd, 2025, or the 29th day of the 29th day of Sivan, 29. We're going to start our first Sivan today. Starting from Time of Greetings, Volume 2, by Vince Heller. Volume 2, we're on number 20, entitled The Lord of Sin's Perish Without the Message to the Lord of Sin. Church of Brethren, Vince Heller. December the 27th, 1947. He says, Revelation 3:15. Now I'm going to read this the way it should be read. Addressed to the angel, singular, prophet, that's in charge of the candlestick of the seventh day Adventist, called Laodicea. I'm going to read this with a singular term. Revelation 3:15-17, because that's the way the Bible writes it. I know thy works. Let's go back and get the Bible and read the Bible's version of it. So in Revelation 3:12, it says, Him that overcometh, it says, will I make a pillar in the temple of my Yahweh, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my Yahweh, and the name of the city of my Yahweh, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of the heaven from my Yahweh, and I will write upon him my new name. He, verse 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, the seven churches. Okay, it says in verse 14, and, which is the conjunction, unto the angel of the church of the Laodicea. Now the angel is the minister to the Adventist church. It's actually the prophet, not the minister. There's many ministers, but there's only one prophet, and that's what the angel is. He has inspiration. So it says, and unto the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said unto the angel, the prophet. So whoever is the prophet at the time that this prophecy unfolds, that's who the angel of the candlestick is. Saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, as the beginning of the creation of the earth. And I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, talking about this prophet, singular person, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So, I only know of one prophet of the Adventist church that was spewed out, and that was Brother Stephen Johnson in 2003 in Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with the good, and have need of the nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. are calculated by as they go, tried in the fire. And he's talking about this prophet. Brother Study Johnson to the Adventist Church, the last prophet to the Adventist Church. The Adventist Church had three. It had Helen G. White, it had Jones and Wagner, it had Taylor G. Bunch, it had M.L. Andreessen, Richie Hollis was number six, Ben Reardon was number seven, Brother Johnson was number eight, and I was the number nine prophet for the Adventist Church. And if I could think real hard, I'd probably find a tenth one to make it universal. Anyway, it says in verse 18 of Revelation, chapter 2, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. Unto him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven churches. Okay, that's the end of our Bible reading, identifying this angel of the Church of Laodicea. So, all the members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church are not angels to the candlestick. Only the inspired prophet is the only one. So now we can go into our reading. It says in Revelation 3:15-17, B.G. Howard now is talking, Shepherd Rod. I know thy works, he says to this angel, this prophet to the Adventist Church, the last one, Brother Shanti, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou said, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of the medicine, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What greater deception can come upon the human mind than a confidence that they are right when they are all wrong? For the message of the true witness, which is Yahshua, Revelation 1:5, finds the people of the Yahweh in a sad deception. Yet honest in that deception, for they know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of the Yahweh. While those adrift are flattering themselves that they are in an exalted spiritual condition, for the message of the true witness breaks their security by the startling denunciation of their true condition of the spiritual blindness. So if the angel, the prophet of the church is teaching false doctrine, then all of his members that believes him and accepts it then they become rich and miserable, poor, blind, and ugly as well. The testimony is so cutting and severe, it cannot be a mistake, for it is the true witness, Yahshua, who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. Volume 3, 252. When people are rich, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, as are the letter sins of Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas from 1970 to 2003, with the Brother Johnson as their prophet, with assigned to the office of inspiration, and yet he wasn't able to truly interpret the prophecies by the spirit of inspiration. As Job said in Job 33:8, but he said that for the spirit of man and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Well, Brother Johnson had the spirit anyhow, but he didn't seek the understanding of the prophecy by that same spirit. He wanted to do it on his own, understanding his own spirit. And it didn't work that way. Do not know it, then the only title that can be given them is deceived. So, if they don't know the rich and blind and poor and naked, then they can only have one title, that they're deceived. Yet, ironically, the letter sin are the people most fearful of being deceived. They think themselves in need of nothing, although the Yahshua himself says that they are in need of everything. They think themselves rich and increase with the good. What good? Not money, I'm sure. For that alone, we hear them calling for money, even begging for it. It is with the supposedly sufficient Bible truth that they are satisfied. They are confident that they have all the revealed truth they need to take them through to the kingdom. This is their great deception, for they do not know their great need of the truth. And then I'm going to back up and say they do not know their great need of the present truth on a daily basis. Now, while the church is about to enter up on fortunal work, cannot be carried on with her old faith of the truth. The church now can no more do without the additional message. Early Writings, page 277, then could she at the closing of the Old Testament era have entered into the Christian dispensation with the Old Testament ceremonial truth isolated from the Gospel, or the teaching of the Father of Salvation to the reputation of others of the Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. But, sad to say, to speak unto the letter of sin of more truth than what they already have is to incur their greatest displeasure, and the idea that they need no more truth, that they have it all, and that someone is always trying to deceive them, has been drilled into them as deeply as it can be drilled. This has made them prejudiced and suspicious of everyone who dares approach them with something new. This is what puts them in as bad a position as the Jews of old. Plain it is that of the letter sin, choose thus to remain lukewarm, satisfied in their deception. They shall be spewed out and forever left without hope. Revelation 3:18. I counsel thee to buy me gold fine apparel, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eyesalve, that thou mayest see. For the gold tried in the fire obviously represents the inspired truth for this time. The only truth that saves, as the only time Yahweh would sell, and what can be the white raiment of which the true witness urges them to buy, if not the righteousness of the Yahshua? And what must one do for the obtaining of these? We must find the answer in Micah 6:5. Oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, had consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Yahshua. Here we are admonished to remember Balak's question and Balaam's answer. If we would know the righteousness of the Yahshua, let us turn unto Numbers 24:17-24. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he left on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perished forever. And he looked on the Kenites and took up the parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy seat in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted until Asher shall carry the away captive. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when Yahweh doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Shittim and shall affect Asher and shall affect Shear. And he also shall perish forever. Obviously, this is a prophecy of Yahshua having taken the reins in his own hand. And in prophecy, that happens here in these 12th dead bodies that we're in now, where Yahshua has appeared once again to take the reins in his own hands down the transportation when he changed the guard from Brother Shepard Johnson to Elijah David. He took the reins in his own hands in 2002 and 2003. Testimonies of Ministries 300. Such is his righteousness that we are urged to know, concretely speaking. Knowing the righteousness of the Yahshua is knowing wholeheartedly that in the latter days he is to take the reins, or he is to take the scepter, that he is to reign, that at the outset he is to smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the church of the Sheth. That Edom and Seir shall be a possession for his enemies, that Israel shall do valiantly, that he shall have dominion, and so on, according unto the scriptures. This is our righteousness of the Asher. If we know it, and he who realizes that the reign of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, and his kingdom, this is that everlasting kingdom of heaven that Yahshua comes down and sits upon the throne of David in Daniel 2:44 and 45. It's an everlasting kingdom that will never be done away with, but it will stand forever. It's not something intangible, not something imaginary floating in space, as it were, somewhere across hell, but a real thing, as real as any of the kingdoms today will immediately inquire, as did the Apostle Paul. What wilt thou have me to do, Yahshua? This we shall again see from the prophecy of the Micah 6:6 and 7. Wherewith shall I come before the Yahshua and bow myself before the high Yahshua? Shall I come before him with the burnt offering, with the calves of a year old? Will the Yahshua be pleased with thousands of rams, or with the 10,000 of the rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my belly for the sin of my soul. This inquiry by the people and the unfolding of this scripture reveals what they think would be most pleasing to the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, for the sake of a gift of some kind from the material things is perhaps the most acceptable gift, for they can offer for the remission of their sin. We, with our own eyes, actually see this very using throughout our churches the same condition obtained in the days of the Yeshua First Advent. The Jews were very particular, for they were very particular about paying tithes, even on the minutest item of the income, on such as mint, anise, and cumin. But they omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Matthew 23:23. Honest tithing was to their credit, said the Yeshua, but tithing should never replace judgment, mercy, and faith. This same answer comes to the today through the prophet Micah 6:8. He has served the old man what is good, and what does the Yahweh require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Yahweh. Once having caught the vision of the great need for the revival and reformation, Yahweh's people are willing to do almost anything, even for the sacrificing of their own firstborn. For the further information, inspiration, advisement, in Micah 6:9, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it. Okay, so these are Yahweh's answers unto the question, wherewith shall I come before the Yahweh and bow myself before the High Yahweh, since we are asked to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our Yahweh? It must be that we, as a people, are not practicing these things, that there is a dishonesty inconsiderateness and pride. We are glad, though, that we are not hopelessly condemned for our iniquities, but that we are invited to give them up, to forsake them, if we expect to stand in Mount Zion with the Lamb. Now we're going to continue on where we left off on page 23. To the prophet Ezekiel, we are shown wherein we abuse the gift of the mercy and justice. Ezekiel 34:21, 23-31. Because you have thrust with side and with shoulder, and push all the disease with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between chattel and cattle, and ye my flock. Flock of my pasture. Amen. And I am your Yahweh, saith Yahweh. For the disease of the weak are those who are less influential, and for one reason or another are unable to hold their own. These are pushed and horned out by the stronger, the unjust and the unmerciful class, a class who control their work. This class is nevertheless eventually to be judged. There is but one safe course to pursue if we would find favor with the Yahweh, and that course is that course is outlined by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 7:21-22. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nurse a young cow and two sheep, and it shall come to pass for the abundance of the milk that they shall give, that he shall eat butter for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. Imagine one cow and two sheep supplying with the butter and honey all who are left in the land. Since a literal cow and two sheep could not possibly do this, we must agree that they are symbolical of the something which is not only capable of producing an abundance of milk, but is able also to preserve the lives of its patrons. There is but one thing that consists of the three such parts, two sheep and a young cow, that is capable of keeping the world alive, and that is the Bible unfolded by the spirit of the prophecy, the spirit that leads into all the truth. For the two sheep, not being young and two of a kind, must be symbolical of the Bible itself. both Old and New Testament. The child being young and larger in size is obviously symbolical of a something of the later origin and more voluminous than the Bible itself. Hence, it is none other than the published works of the ever-living spirit of the prophecy, the inspired interpretation of the scriptures. Note that those that are left in the land, therefore, when the Yahshua takes his scepter to reign, are those who live on the butter and honey, which only the Bible and the spirit of the prophecy can supply. All others are to perish with the modern Edomites and Moabites. In the same symbolical prophecy, we are shown that Yahshua himself learned the difference between right and wrong by the studying of the scriptures, Isaiah 7:14-15. Therefore, Yahshua himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. No one will deny, as mentioned in our text or week's study, that this is a prophecy of Yahshua's first advent. And as we have the record that his diet was not of the dairy butter and of the bee honey, not restricted, as was John of the Baptist, also by the fact that no literal butter and honey has the efficiency of compelling anyone to choose the good and to refuse the evil. It all proves that the butter and honey are symbolical of the word of Yahweh, that the Yahshua himself learned from the scriptures to choose the good and to refuse of the evil. Here you see that the needs, that one needs a very supply of the spiritual butter and honey if he is to sustain his spiritual life. That is, yesterday's meal could not take the place of the meal today. And no more than Noah's inspired message for his day can take the place of the inspired message of the kingdom today. Only the heaven sent message for today can save the people of today. This is just as real and as true and as logical as it is to say that the living cannot be judged with the message of the judgment of the dead. Yes, blessed is that faithful and wise servant whom his master has made the ruler over all, over his household, to give them meat in due season. Matthew 24:45-46. for the further to realize that we need the study and the order for the recognizing of the abomination that surrounds us, and to know how to avoid them, I shall read from a testimony to ministry 445. This season of the servant of the Yahweh, the 144,000, is the same that was shown unto Ezekiel in vision. John also has been a witness of this most startling revelation. For this season of the servants of the Yahweh, the 144,000, is the same that was shown unto Ezekiel in the vision. John also has been a witness of this most startling revelation. Ezekiel 9:46. And the Yahweh said unto him, go to the midst of the city, to the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite that not your I spare not to have you pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. When the day approaches for this scripture to be fulfilled, then its truth must be the meat in the due season for the people at the time. Nothing else can take its place. And so we see that as the Nineveh was spared by the message to it, so the latter sins can only be saved by the message to the latter sin. From the following, we see that the message to the latter sin is to bear fruit, that many will learn to choose the good and to refuse the evil. In the time when the wrath shall go forth in the judgment, these humble, devoted followers of the Yahshua will be distinguished from the rest of the world by their soul anguish, which is expressed in the lamentation and weeping, reproof and warning, while the other side to throw a cloak over the existing evil and excuse the great wickedness everywhere prevalent, those who have a zeal for the Yahweh's honor and a love for the souls will not hold their peace to obtain favor of any. Their righteous souls are rich day by day with the unholy words and conversation of the unrighteous. They are powerless to stop the rushing torrent of the iniquity, and hence they are filled with the grief and alarm. They mourn their before the dollar, the city, the religion, the spouse, and the very home of those who have had great life. They lament and afflict their souls. The pride, avarice, selfishness, and deception of almost every kind are in the church. Since we now surely see that the letter sends church without the message to the letter sends, we can hold fast to the truth for the time, and win our crown of the lost, and in the addition of this, we shall be credited with a share, a harvest of the souls, and with the commendation, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Passage 25:23. End of number 20. This may be the end of our step. This is our contact, just the 11th hour call.